Praise the Lord for the privilege of being here again. I would have loved to hear testimonies of what God has done. When I came in, the song about the harvest was being sung, about the harvest that is ripe. And I believe that is the situation of the present generation and time. The harvest is ripe. The Lord said, first the leaf, then the stalk, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. And when we go to Matthew 13 and some other scriptures, it becomes clear to us what this is all about and what the harvest will be. Matthew 13. You all know this parable. I will read what the Lord gave as an interpretation. When He interprets, it is always correct. When we interpret, it is never correct. He says here in Matthew 13, perhaps in verse 39, no, we must read verse 37 as well. He said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. A wonderful word, a clear word. Here the Lord has already separated, before the separation even comes. He has divided into two groups. One is the good seed. These are the sons of the kingdom of God. And He, the Lord, is the sower, and the true children of God are His fruit, His seed. While the people slept, the enemy sowed, and he sowed tares. And here it says, literally, these are the children of the wicked one. And this wicked one is the devil. A person who has the revelation of Genesis 3, as it was given to our brother Branham, and knows what happened in the Garden of Eden, that two seeds began there. The seed of the serpent and the human seed. From one line, Christ was to come according to the flesh. And when these two lines mixed, the Lord God said, the end of all flesh is come before me. When we read about these two seeds, we are grateful that God has destined us to be His property, that He has made us sons and daughters of God, that we are in the world, but not of the world, that we are children of men, but at the same time may be children of God by grace. We are just waiting to be transformed. But it is precisely this word about the tares and the sons of the wicked one. We heard Brother Rus read in the opening word, "Ye have overcome the wicked one." It cannot be said any clearer. The same John writes, as we will see in a moment, that Cain was of the wicked one. But I will now read again from 1 John 2, verse 14. 1 John 2, verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. In the third chapter of the Epistle of John, verse 11 says, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." Anyone who reads this, because his works were evil, a Bible critic could ask, what was evil in building an altar to the Lord? What was evil in gathering all kinds of things to offer on the altar? One might have said, that was a good gesture, a fine thing to do. One could have even joined in. It all looked so fine. But he was of the wicked one, and no matter what he did, it was a relationship to the wicked one from which he himself came. And it was the opposite with Abel. There was God's well-pleasing upon him, and he did what was pleasing to God. These two lines run from beginning to end. Blessed are those who find their place and gain access to the Word of God, who are born of the divine seed of the Word, and who later take the Word into themselves, and as we said at the weekend, become part of the Word. I believe it was yesterday that we were talking with some brothers, myself included, and we had briefly discussed the topic of the church and elders and so on, here in the open air, in the courtyard. And then words were said that I would like to repeat. He said, "Brothers, when I was still living in Czechoslovakia, I already belonged to the church here. And since I've been here, I also belong to the church." And then he also said, "You and you all were part of it and are still part of it." And we want to emphasize that from here at the front. whether we come from different countries, is completely irrelevant. We belong to the Church of the Firstborn, to the Church of the Firstborn who are written in heaven, because we are a divine seed, and we want everyone to feel this way, not just to come and be present here, but to be part of what God is doing now. The Church is a biblical and divine institution, and it is written, God added to the Church. And the same shall be at the end, that not men add unto it, but that God may add unto it, and that we may thus attain to the unity of the Spirit as members of the body of Jesus Christ. There are so many profound thoughts in the text that Brother Rus read. If we wanted to explore them all, if we wanted to pursue them, we would still be here tomorrow morning. But it is a standard that we can apply to examine ourselves, to see where we stand, and the relationship, the heartfelt and intimate relationship in your soul and mine with God is revealed in our relationship and attitude toward His Word. At the moment when God's Word is truly everything to us and human words are nothing, and only then, when human words have become nothing to us, can God's Word become everything to us. As long as we still layer the two things nicely on top of each other and let them run their course, it will not work. But then, when we have understood that human beings have led us astray, but that God's Word has led us into the light of God, and that we walk in this light, as we have all heard and read. The very first verse is both a warning and a comfort. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And here it should be stated right away what sin is. Sin is transgression of God's law, of God's Word. This alone is the measure of what sin is. Sin is transgression, and transgression is sin. The law was given for this purpose, to catch man in his transgression, so that he could then be condemned. The law had this task, not to torment us, but to clearly show us before God that we are guilty, because we have transgressed His commandments, His Word, His law, and thus we have become guilty. And so God has given us the grace to escape from our guilt and accept salvation. But look how the man of God, who preached and wrote about love, immediately gives this reminder after his warning. I will read it again in context. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Very clear and concise. The standard has been set. The course has been set. Nevertheless, God always shows mercy to those whom he has pardoned. It goes on to say, and he is the propitiation. Here it says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This reminds us of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God said this, God meant this, and he made provision for it on Golgotha. It goes on to say, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. To say that I have come to know God or have been recognized by God is one thing, but that this is actually the case can be something quite different. And hereby we do know that we know him. We have truly come to know that it is not just a sentence we utter, but that it has become reality, namely by keeping his commandments. For they are now written in our hearts. It cannot be otherwise. If they are only on paper, it does not work. If they are in our hearts, then it works. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. As I said, here we can test ourselves. Anyone who claims to keep his commandments but does not do so is a liar, or claims to have known him but does not keep his commandments is a liar. Let us emphasize this once again. God has given the law, the commandments. He has given us his word to keep it. At the same time, he has shown us that we are incapable of fulfilling all of this. He then pardoned us and gave us power to become children of God, because we believe in his name. He has given us the privilege of receiving his word into ourselves and becoming part of the word. He has placed a desire within us to keep his word and his commandments. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. We all want to reach perfection. We want to share in it when God completes his work and then rests on the seventh day in the millennium. We all want to be perfected and rest with him. Here it says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. God wants obedient children. Disobedience is like the sin of witchcraft. Obedience is better than sacrifice, better than burnt offerings. And it is so. Man is so constituted. He is ready to give God everything and everything, namely because they have nothing. But to obey and make oneself available to the Lord is quite another thing. When you talk to people, they are willing to consecrate and give everything to the Lord. Yet they have nothing to give or consecrate. And what does my God say? My son, my daughter, give me your heart. That is all God wants. When he has your heart and mine, then he has you from head to toe. And then he has everything. Then he has you completely. He doesn't just want you to give him some arms and say, "Here, dear God, this is all I have." That is nothing. My son, my daughter, give me your heart. And then the heart shall be renewed. Then there shall be a new heart and a new spirit in it. And then God will write his word into this new heart. And at the same time, give us the strength to do according to it. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. A lofty goal, a responsibility, a challenge that is difficult to comprehend. And yet, it must be true, because it is written in the Word. And because it is written in the Word, it must even be possible to obey this Word. Whether we can comprehend this at the moment or not, we affirm it. We say yes to it, because it is written here, "He that claims, he abides in him." And I now claim this, and I do not say it lightly. I claim that I remain in him. You claim it. You bear witness to it. Let us take the word "bear witness." Whoever testifies that he abides in him, so whoever confesses this, whoever asserts this, whoever testifies this, "I abide in him," is obliged to walk as he walked. Here we see how high the calling is that has been given to us. Here we see how high the goal is that God has set for us, even here on earth. Not only the goal after the completion of our pilgrimage, but already here on this earth. Whoever testifies, whoever claims he abides in him, is obliged to walk as he walked. Here we could close the book of God and go into prayer and say, "Lord, we want to abide in you, for if you do not abide in you, we will be cut off like a branch, and then we will wither and be burned." And then our Lord says in John 15, "Whoever remains in me will bear much fruit, and I will purge him, that he may bring forth more fruit." These are all the words of our God. Where do we stand? Where are we going? Where are we? Beloved, I believe that God has given us this word tonight, not to discourage us or bring us down, but to give us strength, to call out to us, "I am your God. I will help you. I am your help. I am your strength. You will not lack anything if you trust in me." For this is why God's word has always been given, not to strike down, but to lift up those who are down, to help. And we believe that tonight as well. The Lord is here to help, to lift up, to give you and me a helping hand, to give us new courage, new strength, and to call out softly to us, "Through my strength you will succeed." His strength is powerful in the weak. We do not come here as human beings to say, either here at the front or in the audience, "Thank you that I'm not like him or her. we come here and beat our chests and say, Lord, I am not worthy to come into your house, into your presence, but you have invited me, and that's why I have come, in believing your word. And when we speak to our Lord with this attitude from our hearts, it will soon be different for all of us. For I say it again, God's word is given to us to show us what he wants to do with us and through us. And if it is written here that we should walk as he walked, how did he walk? He went about doing good. He healed, he saved, he bound up the brokenhearted. He did good to all. He delivered those who were oppressed by the devil. No lie was found in his mouth. He was without fault. Now we, who have been born again unto a living hope from his divine seed, we should walk as he walked. Do what he did. According to the scripture, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these, because I go to the Father. What tasks lie ahead of us? What responsibility has been entrusted to us? Beloved, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word. Amen. Amen. In the beginning was the word. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard. Even if it is proclaimed anew, it is the ancient word. And the ancient word always becomes new and alive in every proclamation and is effective in those who hear and accept it in faith. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. You all know it. Our brothers in the early church already expected the return of the Lord. This is evident from all the letters which they wrote under the guidance of the Spirit, written for us who live at the end of the time of grace. The darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. The Lord says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Of John it is written, he came to bear witness of the light. He was not the light himself, but he bore witness of the light. And the light had just come into the world to enlighten every human being. The true light is already shining, and I believe it is shining in our time as well. We live in a dark time, and what the prophet Isaiah said is still true today. Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But unto you shall the Sun of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Let there be light. The light has dawned upon us. Now it comes again. Verse 9. He that saith, he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. Our words mean nothing unless they agree with our deed, and the deed with the words, and the words with the deed. Anything else is meaningless. It goes on to say, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You all know this word offense from Matthew 18. It's the same word. Such a person who walks in the light does not set traps that will one day spring to catch others. A person who serves God is sincere, open, honest, without guile, without malice, without anything. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord has forgiven his sins, in whose spirit there is no guile. Guile is in the false seed. Truth is in the seed of God. So, he that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. No falling, no trap is in him. No, he himself has become light, for it is written, Arise, shine, for your light has come. When the light of God shines, it does not shine just so that we may marvel at it, or even jump for joy and rejoice in the light. When the light of God shines, it shines to enlighten us, so that we too may become light by the grace of our God. And then the darkness will disappear. It goes on here, But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. One should not tell anyone, for judgment belongs to God alone. He knows where we stand spiritually, how far the Lord has already been able to work in us, what He is looking for, and what He wants to find on that day. One can only say, let each one examine himself. And then I will add that we have a heart that is not even capable of examining ourselves in a way that is valid before God, because our own heart is deceitful to the core. Is that true? We cannot even pass judgment on ourselves that is valid before God. Over others, who knows how true that is, but we are very bad off when it comes to judging ourselves. And I say it again, because we ourselves are not capable in our hearts of judging ourselves as we really need to. It goes on to say, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Do you all believe that? I believe with all my heart, for thus it is written, in his name remission of sins will be preached to all nations. We have been preached to. We have believed, and we have received forgiveness of our sins. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. You see, this is about recognition, about revelation. This is about the spiritual realm of true believers. When Jesus was asked, Show us the Father, he said with great sadness, I have been with you for so long, how can you ask me, Show us the Father? He who has seen me has seen the Father. It is revelation. Some looked at the earthly shell and said, we know him and his sisters and his brothers. He is so and so. That was only outwardly. Inwardly, it was not so and so. Inwardly, it was the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings who had taken on human form. But to the natural eye, it was the illegitimate son of a carpenter. There, Mary. That was earthly. But spiritually, it was completely different. The great I Am, who had spoken to Abraham, who had spoken to Moses, who had spoken to all the prophets, the Yahweh of the Old Testament, became Jesus in the New Testament. This was not visible on earth. God was hidden in the earthly shell. I tell you something, it can happen to us that we too are not judged correctly. That people say, oh, that's so and so. No, it's not so and so. They are sons and daughters of God. We are not people to whom you can attach a label. We are justified and have become sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ, completely justified. Do you all believe that? I believe it with all my heart. And why does Paul write, from now on we know no man after the flesh? Look for that among the children of God. Everyone knows everyone after the flesh. And the scripture says, from now on we know no man after the flesh. If you yourself have been born of the Spirit and filled with the Spirit, you will seek and find the divine spiritual in your brother and in your sister. If this is not the case, if you yourself still have a carnal mind, then you will judge the earthly realm and forget what God has done for us. And that must not be. Children of God should judge all things spiritually. Paul writes, the spiritual man judges all things right, but no one judges him correctly. Everyone judges, but they judge wrongly. They judge wrongly because they do not judge according to the Word of God. They all have their own laws. Go and see for yourselves. You will feel it. No, in the house of God, there is only one book that can be opened to judge rightly. And that is the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, which we love and believe. Here, people should not judge other people. Here God passes judgment on everyone, and we all submit to it. And suddenly, the condemned hear a mighty acquittal and are told that the Lord has taken the punishment upon himself so that we might have peace. And by his stripes we are healed. It goes on to say, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I believe we can say that too. We have known him. Then comes this profound admonition. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What can one say about this? Nothing. Just believe and ask the Lord to work in us what is pleasing to him, to transform us. If we wanted to apply a standard here earthly, then many things would turn out very differently. One person judges something this way, another that way. No, here everyone must stand before his God and let himself be convicted of sin by the Spirit. For it is written, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father. That's what the Lord said. And I believe that we have indeed recognized these three things in truth. It goes on here, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Someone may ask, where are the boundaries here? How far can one go? What is allowed and what is not allowed? No one needs instruction on this. The Spirit of God and the Word of God are enough for each individual. And if the fear of God is added to it, then the Lord will be with us and give us precise discernment and let us know what is right before Him. I can already tell you what is right before Him, namely what is according to His Word. What is contrary to His Word cannot be right with Him, for He stands by His Word. But what is in accordance with His Word is right. That does not fall under the category of what is condemned, but is then in the will of God. By the word, the same word is found in the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40, where John was also prophesied that he would appear. And it says here, in Isaiah chapter 40, right in verse 1, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. You all know the scripture, verse 3, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and so forth. Then it says, that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I will now read verse 6. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? Then comes the answer, all flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. Amen. Do you notice how things fit together? Grass, flowers, field. The people are like grass. You can see it. Who does not grow old? Who does not wither? All people come and go. Some do not want to. There are old people who would give a million to be young again. I know that my price has already been paid, that I will be young again, because it is written. And here the wonderful word. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. John took the word from the Old Testament and then through the Spirit he emphasized, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Here we read, the word of God remains forever. And here, whoever does the will of God remains forever. And who does the will of God? Whoever acts according to the word of God does the will of God. Is that true or not? So it agrees again. Thanks be to our God. Beloved, the responsibility that has come upon us in this place will not be given to any other people on earth. We have heard the word of the Lord with a clarity and truth that cannot be found anywhere else on earth. And here you might say, man of God, are you not reaching too high or too far? No, I'm telling the truth, for that's how it is. God has given us the grace to humble ourselves under His mighty hand, not to make anything of ourselves or of the matter, but to become part of the work that God is now doing. And we are grateful for the part He has given us and want the harvest we have heard about to be brought in, for the wheat field is overripe. At one point, Brother Branham said that the rapture is not only due, but already overdue. Then we read in Peter's letter, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but He does not want anyone to be lost. He waits patiently until the last ones are called out. And I tell you one thing, if the last one were called out tonight, the door would close tonight. That's how ripe the Lord's return is. And therefore, may He grant us grace that we may be encouraged by this word and encourage one another, help one another, and live for the Lord and for one another, and see all these words fulfilled in us. The people are like grass. They wither and fades away, but the word of our God remains forever. And whoever does the will of God according to the word of God remains forever, together with the eternal word that He has taken into Himself. We have said this often enough. God has said that the prophets are gods. You can read it in a psalm and in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, where the Lord says, if those to whom the word came are called gods, how can you accuse me of blasphemy when I say that I am the Son of God? Beloved, we too have the privilege of calling ourselves sons and daughters of God. For it is written, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. Do you believe in His name? Have you received Him with all your heart, with all your soul? If not, then do so tonight, and you will experience that God's word is true, even in your heart and in your life. Amen. Let us stand and worship. Heavenly Father, I thank You from my heart for Your precious and holy word, which remains forever, and for all my brothers and sisters who do Your will and will also remain forever. Faithful God, it all belongs together. Savior, we have a common request. Come to meet us and help us to become as You were, as You want us to be, as you want to find us, as God's offspring, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, beloved Lord, make us people who walk in your ways, who are at your disposal, who are blessed by you, and who can be a blessing to others. Those who have raised their hands or not, we lay them all before you and ask you, grant grace, total deliverance, perfect redemption, full salvation. Lord, let it be revealed through the power of your blood, your word, and your spirit. Bear witness among your own to the glory and praise of your name. Hallelujah. Amen.